they're not. Well, I've enjoyed preaching through the Song of Solomon in these days that we've been here. And God has stirred my soul in that book. And it is a wonderful, wonderful book in the Bible. We'll be there again this morning. And unless God does something that I cannot foresee, again in the evening hour as well tonight, we'll be in this song, trying our best to bring the thoughts that God crosses our heart with, and trying to be a blessing to the people of God. So let's turn this morning to chapter 7 one more time in Solomon's Song. Chapter number 7, if you would please, and let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Song of Solomon, chapter number 7, and I want to read verse number 9 and verse number 10 for us this morning. And the roof of thy mouth, like the best wine for my beloved, that goeth down sweetly, causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that reading this morning in your hearing, and I trust God will take it and anoint his word and his servant that I might preach to you today what God's laid on my heart. I hope he allows me to do that both morning and night. God so troubled my heart this morning in prayer and study and waiting upon him, and I hope the Lord will touch us today, morning and night service both, and will satisfy our souls in spiritual things. If you're carnally minded, it's not going to affect you a whole lot coming to church. But if you're spiritual, you've got to have a spiritual table spread and dine from the Master's table. And I hope God will help us. Let's bow together and pray. Our Father, we are thankful for Thy Word that You've given us this day. Thank You, Lord, for the table that You've spread for the saints of God and the invitation to come and dine. Thank You for the songs we've enjoyed, the fellowship, Lord, that refreshed our souls. We thank You for the divine holy presence of Thee in our midst today. I pray that You'd control every heart by the power of Your Spirit. Lord, that You'd overflow us and overflow and flood us and our souls with the great love of God that's been shed abroad there. I'd ask You, Lord, to save some old sinner today that's blinded by the devil, and Lord, caught up in religion without God and without hope. May they find their way to the glorious hill of Mount Zion, where they might put their faith and confidence in Christ and be born again from above. I pray for the help of Thy servant today. And God, that You'd help me, anoint me, I pray, with fresh oil. Fill me with the Spirit of God and give me new power and liberty that I might preach Thy Word. We do pray for those that's away from us today, those that are homesick, the ones we've mentioned earlier. God, I pray for them and those that are here likewise, that are suffering in body today. I pray for them, but more than that, Lord, for those that may be suffering in their soul, may they today find solace from the hand of God and comfort as we look to Thee and Thy work upon the cross again this day. And we'll thank You for all You do and Your revival You're going to send. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Our verse text will be found in verse number 9 this morning. And in the latter part of that verse, well, really, I'll read it all, where Solomon said here, "And the roof of thy mouth," and notice now, "is like the best wine for my beloved." And notice what this wine accomplishes in the life of his bride, the church. It says that it goeth down sweetly, and causing, or it causes the lips of those that are asleep to speak. This wine, this best wine, goes down very sweetly and causes the lips of those that are asleep to speak. If God will help me for a little while this morning, you're going to pray for Brother Hall, I hope so. I want to try to preach for a little while around the thought, a wine that awakens. Amen. A wine that awakens. The psalmist said that this is the best wine and it goeth down sweetly. And the end result is that it causes those that are asleep to speak. I thought about this morning as Brother Doug brought across to our, brought our attention to that widow and her son in Nain. That young man dead and in his casket, in his bier. But when the Lord touched that young man, the Bible said that he sat up and began to speak. I submit to you that he got a drink of wine, the right kind of wine, that awakened his soul, enabling his lips that were dead to speak. Lips that had no word to say begin to testify about the grace of our Lord and about the great love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts. And I want to preach a little while on that thought this morning on a wine that awakens. By way of introduction, let me say here that the Lord is now concluding His commendation to the church. He's finishing up that which He is commending His church about. I'm glad that our Lord can find something good to say about us. Even when we can't say anything good about one another, or we can't even say anything good about ourselves, I'm glad that He finds something within us that He can commend us about and say something good about us that will cheer and bless and help our hearts. And in this commendation, the roof of her mouth, He says, is like the best wine that goeth down sweetly, and that it awakens and gives life. I want to repeat that. It goes down sweetly. It awakens and it gives life to those that are asleep. I say that because a speaking man, for him in order for a sleeping man to speak, he must first be awakened. Amen. And the wine is said to awaken him. I'm afraid that we've got too many people in the church that are sleep talking. You understand what it means to talk in your sleep? You just rattling off a bunch of subconscious thoughts that you're not even aware of. I remember a few years back, I took Josh to a knife show in Lexington. And I was laying in my bed reading my Bible, and he was laying in his and had dozed off to sleep. And in a little while, he raised up on his left side, began to take his hand, and as he was pushing up, he was saying, "Get it off of me. Get it off of me. Get it off of me." And I thought, "Son, there's nothing on you to get off." He just simply talking in his sleep. And what he was saying didn't make any sense at all. That's the way a whole lot of Baptists are, what they say. Don't make any sense at all. And the reason being, they're still in their sleep. They've never got a drink of wine that awakens them and causes their lips to speak spiritual things. That's right. He said, this wine is like the best wine. That is, in some ways, now don't fall out with me now, it has the same appearance, it has the same effects as fermented wine. He did not say it's fermented wine. He said the roof of your mouth is like the best wine. It's not wine that'll make you drunk, but I guarantee you there is some wine that'll make you drunk on God. And some of us need that desperately. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. I guarantee you one of the greatest needs of our day is for God's people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But this wine has the same appearance, the same effects as fermented wine. For fermented wine is alive. Somebody said, "Preacher, what do you mean?" I mean, it has a life-giving effect. Fermented wine moves rightly within the cup.
And it moves there because it has got life in it. And friend, the kind of wine this morning that awakens people has got a life in it. It gives life to all those that will take it. And it goes down sweetly, by the way, and causes them to speak. Amen and amen. I feel a wild one coming on. So I can get this phlegm out of my throat. Fermented wine, as it moves rightly in the cup. This Bible wine works. It moves. Real fermented wine works. I've heard my daddy before. I say, "Daddy, what's that smell back there?" He'd say, "That's something working back there, son. You don't need to know about it." What he's telling me in a polite way is his home brew was a brewing off. He said, "It's something back there working. It's working off." And I'm telling you that this wine that is in the roof of the mouth of the bride that goes down sweetly and causes her to speak is a wine that works, my friend. I'm telling you that the grace of God and the gospel of the grace of God is not a dead grace. It's not a dead gospel. It is a living gospel that gives life to those that will consume it. And by the way, it goes down sweet and will cause you to have something to say about the Lord Jesus in your life. Amen to God. What is this wine? Isaiah 55, 1 and 2 said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money." Are you broke today? You're a candidate for this wine. When you find yourself broke and realize you have nothing to offer God, I said nothing to offer God, oh, then you are a candidate for the wine that I'm going to be preaching about. Amen. Said, "Let everybody that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." He said, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not?" I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of folks today trying to find satisfaction and spending all their life looking for something that satisfies. And son, just one drink of this wine that I'm talking about this morning will satisfy you and keep you contented all the days of your life. Amen. And cause you to go to glory with a shout in your heart and a spring in your step and joy in your soul for the glory of God. You ever see a man drunk on wine? Kind of acts nutty, don't he? Huh? That's right. That's why when you really get full of this wine I'm preaching about, you won't act like a normal person. Oh, I'm dignified, preacher. And that kind of life ain't in me. I'd like to see some of you egg suckers when you was drunk before you got saved. I guarantee you all that backwardness and all that reservedness, I guarantee it was gone when John Barley got to talking in your soul. You gonna tell me that liquor can control you and God don't have the power to? Come on in the house, children. I'm telling you, the God that I serve's got more power over my being than a can of beer or a quart of liquor has got in my life. Woo! Put down your pipe and smoke it. Bless your heart. Amen. That's right. Romans 10:8. Listen to this, and I've never seen it before. He said the roof of thy mouth is like the best wine that goeth down sweetly and causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak. And I've never seen this. Listen what he said. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee." Well, where's it at, Brother Paul? "Even in thy mouth." Oh, the word is nigh thee. "Even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is a word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with the mouth he maketh confession about that same salvation that has been wrought in his heart. I'm telling you, this wine will put something in your mouth that will cause you to speak for God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Son, that is a marvelous thing if you'll get a hold of it. Even the Lord puts the confession of faith in our mouth, for without His ability, you couldn't even confess Christ. Don't leave me now. Here's a verse of Scripture that I have pondered all of my life. Brother Rodney Proctor come to me years ago and said, I found a verse of Scripture that I can't get any help on, and all I can get is men that tell me that it's wine and that you ought to give it to a man that's going to hell and let him drink it and die and go to hell. I never did believe that. I cannot believe that God would say anywhere in the Bible to give wine to anybody and let them go to hell drunk and in a drunken stupor. And I'm going to tell you, when I begin to meditate on this message, boy, God opened her up.
Amen.
Proverbs 31, 6 and 7.
Amen.
Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish.
Amen.
And wine unto those that be of a heavy heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. And I'm here to tell you, son, the wine that goeth down sweetly and causes those that are asleep to awaken up, my friend, will deliver us from poverty and deliver us from misery of soul that we're living in. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Are you ready to pray this morning? Open your mouth wide and drink a good jigger of the gospel of the grace of God and let it bring you alive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's right. Somebody said, what is that wine? The gospel. It's the gospel. I want to say again, it's the gospel that it'll go down sweetly. And it'll cause a man to speak. And by the way, it's the best wine. And it goes down sweetly. And it awakens those that are asleep. The gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, are you? I was on my way to hell, dead in my sin. Wicked, wretched, vile, miserable, ungodly, unfit for heaven, unclean, unholy, condemned, crazy as a cougar bug, and God's gospel went down sweetly into my soul and lifted me out of the depths of depravity and saved me by His wonderful grace. I'm going to tell you, it tasted good, too. I ain't drank anything any better. What do you think the governor of that feast was talking about when he said, you've saved the best wine until the last? Woo! I won't say it's the last wine I've ever had in my mouth. And that includes at communion, too, buddy. The gospel. He said it's the best. It goes down sweetly. And it has an awakening effect upon those that indulge in it. Now I'm going to mention three things. I say three things in this verse and we're going to the house. I want to preach a little while on the purity of the gospel. The penetration of the gospel. The power of the gospel. Oh, it's pure. It's the best wine. It penetrates. It goes down sweetly. And it's powerful. It causes those that are asleep, my friend, to wake up and begin to speak. Oh, I want to say this gospel is pure. Said it's the best wine. Friends, if you know anything about, hey, it is without mixture. No drags. You see that old Boone's Farm, that old Annie Greenspring, some of you jokers used to suck around on? all that old settlement in the bottom of it. Yeah, come on in the house, children. That old homebrew, and they used to have them old sediments in the bottom of it. It's a, hey, what I'm talking about is kind of like that, kind of like them old John Deere tractors. Used to have what they called a sediment bulb on it. All of the water that may be in the gas and all the drug drags that were in the gas would fill out into that sediment bulb to keep it out of the gasoline flow, to make the gas pure. I'm going to tell you, son, that the gospel of the grace of God is without mixture. It has no drags. It is pure grace, undefiled. There's nothing you can add to it, nothing you can take away from it. For by grace are you saved through faith in that, not of yourselves. They got a whole lot of folks that are struggling to add something to grace. You're going to hell if you do that. I'm going to say again, you're going to hell if you add to grace. Because anything that's not pure grace stems from yourself, and you don't have the power to pull yourself up by the bootstraps, friend. Grace. Marvelous grace. Wonderful grace. Pure grace. Without mixture. No dregs. It has no self-righteousness. I'm going to tell you, the self-righteous man, that fellow's trying to make himself righteous, will wind up in hell without God and without hope. You can't do enough. For our righteousness is as filthy rags in the eyes of God. Son, you can't do enough work. You can't get good enough. You can't make yourself right enough to go to heaven. Somebody said, oh, God won't save me. He knows what all I've done in life. Son, that's the kind He wants to get a hold of, is those that have done things in their life. Amen. That Pharisee that went down to the temple and ragged on himself, died and went to hell. But that old publican that smote himself on the breast that wouldn't even look up into the face of God, the Bible said, went away justified. Hallelujah. No self-righteousness. Oh no, it's without mixture, buddy. It's pure. Listen carefully. Speaking about Israel in Romans 10, the Bible said, I believe it's Romans 3:10, and I put Romans 10:3. Sometimes you get that way when you get... No, it is Romans 10:3. It is. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Hey, you can't do righteous deeds and make yourself righteous. Ladies, if you think letting your hair grow long has made you righteous, you're barking up the wrong tree. That long grass ain't made you righteous. Oh no, man, your haircut ain't made you a bit righteous. Sitting on that pew, putting your money in the offering plate, has not made you a bit righteous. I'm going to tell you what makes you righteous. That's taking a good drink of the best wine that goes down sweetly and causes you, when you're asleep in your sin, to awaken out of them. Amen. I'm about sick and tired of living in a Pharisee's world. But I want to say that His righteousness will make you do right. Fine line there, Miss Sharon. It'll make you do right, buddy. It'll put that hair down on your shoulders. It'll get you ladies in a long dress. It'll get you men's hair cut. And I'm going to tell you, get enough of that wine, it'll get that television out of your house and that camel out of your mouth. Yeah! You get a big drink, it'll rid you, friend, of all your jealousy and pride. Come on in the house, children. It'll rid you of that mess. You get enough of it. Whoop! Amen. I'm going to say there's no self-righteousness. There's no substitutes for grace. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I say no substitutes, not works, not baptism, not communion, not the ordinances. There are no substitutes for this wine.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, that's the kind of wine I want, buddy. I'm not interested in worldly wine, wanton wine, wicked wine. I'm interested in pure wine. Gospel. The gospel. Oh, buddy, I'll tell you what, I'm going to have to move, but I could turn loose and preach about an hour and a half, son, on that pure gospel. It's pure because He is pure. It's without mixture because He is without mixture. Somebody said He's part man. No, He's all man. But thank God He's all God at the same time. In Him was no guile, no sin in Him. He that knew no sin was made to be sin. Bless His wonderful name. Somebody said, how can that be? I don't understand it all, but when He went up on Calvary, He carried your sins there and was yet as pure as He is today.
Yeah.
Woo! Amen. No substitutes. But I want to say that on this wine, there are some serious side effects. I started taking that drug medication. I read on that in that packet they gave me, and it said side effects. Nausea. Weakness. Vomiting. Trembling. On, just on down the line. Side effects. I'm going to tell you what, friend, there's some side effects from this wine. Somebody asked me the other day, said, preacher, how much wine or how much beer can a man drink before he's drunk and considered a sin? A thimbleful?
Amen. That's
a drop?
Right.
One drop.
Amen.
That one drop may not make you drunk, but I'm going to guarantee you one thing, you'll have to go into a place to get it. And the Bible said to abstain from all appearance of evil.
That's
right.
Say, a man that puts Mogan David or Boone's Farm to his lips, or even Chablis or Blay or the aged stuff.
Amen.
By the way, the best wine is the old wine. And son, from the coats of skins to the cross of Calvary to the coming of Christ, He's always giving His best to you and I.
Yes.
It's the best wine.
Yes.
But it's got some side effects to it, brother. It'll make you holy. How can it not make you holy?
Amen.
Come on now, pooge mouth. It'll make you happy.
Amen.
Somebody said, I don't like it. I don't give a flip whether you like it or whether you don't, son.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you that any man that has been brought out of the depths of sin, if it don't make you happy, you ain't got anything like you think you might have, friend.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Go out there and ask them fellas if they've let off a death row if they're happy. I know men that's escaped physical death got more joy than most Baptists that's escaped. Is it? Spiritual death.
Amen.
Happy.
Amen.
It'll make you holy. It'll make you hungry for the Word of God.
Amen.
It'll make you healthy. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
I'm healthy in Him today.
Amen.
I done see some of you done got puffed.
Amen.
That's all right. You was puffed when you got here today, buddy. I'm going to start calling some of you Puff a Magic Dragon. Come into your little feeling stretched out all the way across the room. Daring somebody to step on him. Don't double dog dare me, son. I'll nail him. Get them calloused a little bit. They won't be near as hard to damage. Purity of the gospel. It's the best wine. The penetration of the gospel. It goeth down sweetly. It penetrates.
That word sweetly means in one accord, in agreement, to make prosperous. Now I'm telling you, son, that wine, when it went down sweetly, it brought me into one accord with Christ. It brought me into agreement with Christ. It caused my life to prosper in Christ. Oh, yes, sir. Come on now, we're getting ready to preach to you a little while. If you couldn't make it through that first part, you ain't going to make it through this. It will penetrate a rebellious heart. Huh? Somebody said, "Preacher, what on earth are you talking about?" When old brother Paul was on his way to Damascus, that noontime, that bright light, brighter than the noonday sun, shined in on old Paul. And Paul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." Then he said, "Brother Paul, listen to me carefully, son. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks?" Huh? Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks, Brother Paul? Paul, I've been dealing with you a long time. Boy, it's getting quiet now. I've been dealing with you and your old rebellious spirit, Paul, for a long time. Is it hard for you to kick against grace? Is it hard for you to kick against the love of God? Is it hard for you to submit, Paul, to the grace, to the wine that I want you to drink that will cause you to speak for me?
Amen.
You've been rebellious a long time, Paul. I'm afraid some of you in here has been sitting under it a long time. I'd be right careful kicking against the pricks. He can turn you over to a reprobate mind and let you go on to hell. You ain't going to make it on your righteousness. And you ain't going to make it, my friend, in rebellion. Come on in the house now. I think Brother Paul probably stood by and held the clothes of those that stoned Stephen to death. I know he did. The Bible says he did. And he did it very proudly and very arrogantly. And he took letters and compelled those that believed in Christ to go with him and be bound and put in prison. And he became a blasphemer of the church of the living God. You're talking about an arrogant, stout-hearted, eat up with his little religion. And his religion had made him rebellious. Now I'm telling you a little taste of your religion. Well, preacher, I got baptized 15 years ago. Well, some of you have been baptized 15 times.
Amen.
I'd rather be baptized 25 times and know that I got the right thing.
Amen.
Well, I don't like preachers always preaching against my sin. Has it ever occurred to you that that little pet baby you've got tucked away in your heart might just be the thing that's keeping you away from God?
Amen.
Your little pet sin, that little besetting sin, that little sin that so easily besets you and continues to build up that rebellious spirit in your heart. I want to remind you that in Noah's day, they rebelled against Noah's preaching and the flood came and took them all away, buddy. It's dangerous. Penetrates a rebellious heart. Penetrates a religious heart. I think the world today is eat up with religion. Huh? I mean, eat alive with it. Any God can be your God. Any, so long as you believe, doesn't matter what you believe. Oh, yes, it does. Doesn't make any difference how you live. You can just, as long as you name the name of Christ and say, "I believe," you can live like a devil and go to heaven. No! And there is religious reprobates all across America sitting on the pews of our churches, playing a game, playing church, but they have never tasted of the wine that has awakened them and caused them to speak for the glory of God.
Amen.
Man by the name of Nicodemus, friends, about as religious as you can get. He knew the law inside and out, upside and down, sideways, across the ways, front and back. Very religious, just like Paul. But the same came to Jesus by night and said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God.
Amen.
For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again,
Amen.
He cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Nicodemus said, How can these things be? How can a man enter into his mother's womb a second time when he's old and be born again? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, it's truly, truly, Nicodemus, that except you be born of the water and of the Spirit,
Amen.
You shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Son, I'm glad on that wonderful night. By the way, it's always nighttime when a sinner comes to Christ. It's always dark, son, when a sinner comes to God. Always dark when a sinner comes to God. I'm glad on that night, son, when the moon and stars had refused to shine in the life of Nicodemus and he was loaded down with the burden of his sin. And in the night hour, he came to Christ in his religion and took a drink of that wine. Somebody said, did it make him speak? Well, when they was in court wanting to try the Lord, Nicodemus said, Hey! Does our law judge a man before we hear everything about him?
Amen.
I believe he got a drink of something that caused him to wake up a little bit.
Amen.
Begin to speak for Christ.
Amen.
Religion. You're hearing your religion is going, Oh, Brother Hall. My religion. I'll tell you, one of the greatest enemies of the house of God.
Right.
I listened to Brother Smith as he preached last night. Talked about people that living it, claiming they've got it, and they lie, they don't live it.
Amen.
And inspecting the fruit. And I'm here to tell you, friend, if there's no fruit, there's no root. No fruit, no root.
Amen.
All across America.
Right.
Independent Baptist churches.
Amen.
People sitting with a little dose of religion. I know the law, but have you tasted the love?
Amen.
I know the letter, but have you experienced the liberty? I said, why are you preaching this? I don't know, because God told me to. That's why. Some of you sitting here ain't a bit more saved than a billy goat, friend. You're running, you're dry running. You're going through the motions. I've never seen an ounce of fruit in some of you. Oh, but preacher, I come to church. No mixture in this gospel. I pay my tithes. No mixture in this gospel.
Amen.
Christ suffered blood and died. That's it.
Amen.
You get in on faith of that or nothing. Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
Be like the Pope and wear the longest robe you can find. Die and go to hell, friend. You can talk the talk and to some degree walk the walk, but if you ain't got anything in your heart,
Amen.
It goeth down, it penetrates. It penetrates. It gets into the heart, it changes the heart, it changes the life, it changes the home, it changes your whole outlook on everything.
Amen.
The birds will sing, the flowers will bloom, the sun will shine. Winter is gone. Spring is here. Some things happening when you get right with God. Penetrates the religious heart. I won't say it'll penetrate the rascal's heart. Somebody said, Preacher, what do you mean a rascal's heart? You're looking at one. But for a Bible example, they led him away to be crucified to a hill called Golgotha. There he was crucified between two, one on each side. And they were thieves. And they railed on him. The one said, If thou be the Christ, come down and save thyself and us too, and then we'll believe. But there was a mean, lowly thief on that cross. A mean rascal. Just a rascal.
Amen.
Just a common thief, a no good, sticky fingers. Had sticky fingers, wanted to steal everything. He was a kleptomaniac. Stole everything he could get his hands on, not get caught, but he got caught. And you will too someday.
Amen.
You are not going to steal deliverance.
Amen.
You're not going to rob God of grace who put a gun to God and said, I'm a thief, I demand you to give me grace. It's free and without mixture.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? And that rascal said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.
Amen.
And the Lord said, I say unto thee that today,
Amen.
Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Amen.
God saved a rascal, buddy. Got any old saved rascals in here this morning? Brother Jerry says rascal.
Yeah,
way down,
yeah,
don't it?
Yeah,
way down. How far down, Jerome?
365.
Was you a rascal?
Yeah, I was a bad rascal.
Amen.
He'll save rascals that are drunk, rascals that are wife beaters, rascals that are gamblers, rascals that are crooks, rascals that are thieves, rascals that are whoremongers, rascals that are adulterers, rascals that are whores and harlots. For he comes not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He saves rascals. The gospel will penetrate the heart of a rascal. I got to hurry. The purity of the gospel, the penetration of the gospel, but the power causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak. What power?
Yes,
dead! Sound asleep, dead! But that wine, that mess wine has got so much power that it can awaken a sleepy mouth.
Yes.
Awaken a dead heart.
Amen.
Quicken a trespassing
Amen.
Sinner.
Yes.
Right now.
Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ in Romans 1:16. For it is the power of God. You do whatever you want to. I done been in the upper room this morning, boys.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Hallelujah. Amen.
Somebody said you're crazy. I might be crazy, but I have been reached
Amen.
With the power of the gospel. The roof of my mouth has tasted the best wine.
Yes.
And it raised me up and caused my lips to speak.
Yes.
You getting tired of hearing this? You're going to hear it a little longer. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And Colin Powell has made the biggest mistake of any man we've had in the bureaucracy in the White House in years. When he made the statement at the University of Louisville that the best thing that Israel could do is give Judea and Samaria to Palestine and let them make them a state out of it. To bring peace, give it up. Now I'm going to tell you what, friend. When we turn our backs on that little nation, there's going to be a whole lot of other nations follow suit, and she's all over but the shouting. Are you hearing me? And he has made, I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. And that man has made the biggest blunder of any bureaucrat we've had in Washington in years.
Amen.
And if I'd ever get the chance, I'd tell him how stupid he is.
Amen.
Somebody said, Brother Hall, I thought you was a Republican. I'm for right.
Amen.
wouldn't give a flip if he is a Catholic. He's wrong.
Amen.
Or a Baptist. I wouldn't care if he's an independent Baptist preacher. He's wrong.
Amen.
That's right, preacher. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. I spit on somebody out there. I seen it shoot out like a cannon. Three things this wine will do, this power will do. It's got the power to regenerate sleeping sinners.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God.
Yes.
Oh, I'm telling you, the devil thought he had a good time when he put Paul and Silas in jail.
Yes.
Brother Rangel preaching on the jailhouse blues this morning. But I'm going to tell you what, son, some of them had the jailhouse blues, but Paul and Silas didn't have the jailhouse blues. Son, they made the jailhouse rock!
Yes!
Amen.
They prayed and sang praises to God. There was a great earthquake, and son, they began to rock around that place. Get this now. And that old Philippian jailer, awakening out of his sleep.
Amen.
Thinking that all the prisoners were gone. Tried to kill himself. Sure he was going to. Because he thought all the prisoners was gone. Now get a hold of this. I want you to get this. God just gave me this morning, the biggest part of it. He thought, he tried to commit suicide. Thinking all the prisoners were gone.
Right.
You better watch out, religious person.
Amen.
They're all free because their prison bars is open and I'm responsible for them and I'm going to be held. I'm going to the guillotine because of this, buddy.
Right.
I've sinned my way, my day of grace.
Right. Amen.
But he sprung in with one last little bit of hope. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house.
Right.
Aren't you glad, son, that just a song?
Yes.
Son, we ought to come to church and sing.
Amen.
And come to church and pray. Oh, I should have never said that word because I caught some of you sitting out here and standing in the hallway and whizzing there trying to get a hold of God for the service this morning.
Amen.
You want me to finish it up back here? Amazing grace and a simple prayer, son,
Amen.
Brought a jailhouse a rocking and the prisoner free and a jailer and his whole house.
Amen.
That was asleep.
Amen.
Woke up.
Amen.
And was regenerated. You imagine he took them home? Ain't that a turnaround? He took them home, put them in his own house. Washed off their stripes, fed them a good meal, and took them right back to the prison. And you notice Paul being a good man. Boy, you look awful sleepy, Douglas. Had a bad night last night,
yes,
huh?
Sir.
That's so hard. Sick youngins, boy. Got the quiver full.
Amen.
Pays a price to pay for a full quiver. Where was I at, son? And he didn't even fuss about it.
Right.
He said, I'm going to keep my good brother there that I just seen get saved out of any kind of trouble. I'll just be submitted to him going back to prison.
Amen.
There's one place he wouldn't be submitted to. That jailer came in there and said, the sergeant said for you to come on out. He said, no, we're Romans and uncondemned. They beat us. Now let them come down here and get us, man.
Amen.
Let them escort us out of here.
Right.
God, what a thought. I can hear the devil right now when that rascal got saved, didn't he? This rascal. Okay, Lord. I'll let him go. Let him get out here. No, Satan, that's not good enough. You've held him down all this time. Now, I want you to come on down here. Watch him as he goes out. Go out with him. Watch him.
Amen.
I'll guarantee you when Israel come out of Egypt, old Pharaoh was standing at his window. I've lost another one. That morning you got in, the devil said, I've lost another one.
Right. Amen.
That's right.
He done woke up another sleeping sinner.
Yes.
Amen.
Grace just keeps on working.
Yes.
The gospel's still good.
Yes.
It's the best one, son. It goes on working. And by the way, the older it gets, the better it gets.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Listen now, it not only... Yes! It not only has the power to regenerate sleeping sinners, but it has the power to revive sinking saints.
Amen.
Little old bride in Solomon 5:2 said, I sleep, but my heart waketh. Huh? It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, mine the fowl. You believe that same gospel? Listen to me. That same gospel that saved you will revive you.
Amen.
That same gospel that regenerated you, that same love
yes, sir.
That regenerated you will revive you. Nothing but the cross.
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, why do you preach the cross all the time? I'm telling you, it's the only thing for a sinner and the best thing for a saint.
Yes.
Amen.
I could be like Brother Allen and say that didn't. Don't make me spiritual, but it don't prove I'm not either. Praise God.
That's right, amen.
You know what Charles Finney said? Charles Finney said, if you want to revive the church, preach the cross. Get them back to Calvary.
Amen.
My heart is stirred.
Amen.
Whenever I think of Calvary, at the cross, at the cross.
Amen.
Son, I was sitting over this morning getting ready for tonight, man, and I'm telling you, flood after flood after flood of the love of God just swept across my soul. God just let me know I'm still His, and He's still mine. Woo!
Amen.
I tried to comprehend the love, the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of the love of God. God said, son, you ain't going to get there, but keep on trying. It's good for the soul.
Amen.
Oh, what love. Oh, what a Savior is mine. He'll not only regenerate a sleeping sinner, He'll revive a seeking saint. Are you seeking this morning? Do you feel like that you've like went as far as you can go? You're on your last leg this morning. I'm going to tell you what, buddy. Look to the cross. He'll revive you.
Amen.
Now, I want you to understand when I get this last point and I'm closing. But the power of the gospel, it has a power to regather the silent soldiers.
Amen.
Now, I'm not implying soul sleep. Are you listening to me? No such thing as soul sleep. But Jesus said in John 5:28, marvel not at this. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice and shall come forth.
Amen.
They that have done good unto the resurrection of life.
Amen.
And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Silent soldiers in the cemetery. Gone but not forgotten.
Right.
Not forgotten by you and I. And not forgotten by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I thought Harold Sattler was a fool when I first heard him say this, Miss Patty. But he said, your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said, if that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it shall also quicken your mortal bodies. And my mortal body's not been quickened yet. Neither is yours. And it'll never be quickened until the resurrection of the just. Guess what? Guess what's going to quicken that mortal body? That same Spirit. He's not forgotten the grave of our loved ones.
Amen.
You don't have to believe this, you don't want to, but I believe the Holy Ghost right down in that old chest, that old decaying body. He loves us that much.
Amen.
He's right in that hope chest with that old decaying body.
And one of these days, when the trumpet sounds and that word come up hither, it's heralded out across the cemeteries. All those that are in a hope chest will hear the voice.
Amen.
And will come out.
Amen.
Of the grave. Why will they come out? Because that Spirit's right there with them.
Amen.
And that Holy Ghost will nudge that old dead body and say it's time to get up.
Amen. Amen.
And we'll wake up to sleep no more.
Yes.
Now the soul ain't there. It ain't sleeping. It's in the presence of God.
Right.
I thought about Miss Hall's mama. It's a hard time right now, Miss Hall. I sat over the other day and I said, sweetheart, sorrow and all those others which have no hope. I said, we're going to see them again. I'm confident of that.
Amen.
I believe they're saved by the good grace of God. I said, we'll see them again. How many of you in here have got loved ones that's in the grave? You know without a doubt that they were saved by the good grace of God. Hey, look here. Brother Rick, one of these days, that little old baby is going to be quickened in that grave and get up.
Amen.
Amen.
And when you meet one another in the sky, you might say, I don't know you. And that little baby is going to say, Daddy, don't you remember me? God, son, that may not do nothing to you, but I'm going to tell you
Amen.
What, boy. That just...
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I remember the last time I kissed my little old mother, laying there on that little old bed. And I bent over little old body, 79-year-old, decrepit-looking little body. And I said, Mama, I want to thank you for loving me. And thank you, Mama, for washing my clothes and changing my diapers and wiping my snotty nose and cooking my meals and loving me like a mama's supposed to love her children. And she just smiled. All day's coming a day.
Amen.
When that eastern sky is going to open wide.
Amen.
And that same gospel that regenerated us way back yonder shall quicken our mortal body.
Amen.
Amen. Caught up to meet the Lord in the air.
Amen.
For them that sleep shall God bring with him?
Yes.
What a God.
Amen.
This wine, the best wine, goeth down sweetly, causing those that are asleep to speak.
Amen.
Though we be dead, yet shall we live.
Amen.
Because of the best wine that penetrated an old rascal's heart.
Amen.
And saved you by the good grace of God.
Amen.
Let's stand together.